Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. Speaking of optimizing performance, we now have trained AI sales and support agents ready to help you close more deals, reduce expenses, and free up your time for higher value tasks. To learn more, go to anabots.ai. That's anabots.ai. Today's guest is Mark Adams. Mark Adams is a visionary entrepreneur, acclaimed author, and expert in business transformation. With over four decades of experience in sales, marketing, and entrepreneurship as the CEO of Acquisitions for You, Mark specializes in helping businesses unlock their full potential, multiply their value, and achieve tax-free exits. Mark, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
Josh, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's an absolute privilege to be here. I love the show, and I can't believe I'm having a chat with you. So, grateful to be here, and thanks. For me, the key to getting stuff done is taking the first step. Sadly, it's my belief that so many people think of great ideas and things to do, but they just don't take the first step, and procrastination kills everything. So if you can just take the first step and don't worry about what people are going to say or how they're going to feel, or because most times you probably won't be great when you get started, but if you don't start, you can't get any good. So take the first step is my big thing.
Yeah, great advice. You know, I've heard some variation of that before, but everybody kind of has their unique angle on it, and they have their unique reasoning for it. And one of the things I'd love to hear from you, as a guy who wrote a book on how to 10x your business cash out, what are the first steps that somebody's going to take if they want to 10x their business? Some people are just trying to 1x their business.
Do you know what? That's a really, really insightful comment. And so I'm going to answer it and come from the other end. A few years ago, in 2020, stroke 2021, sadly, and you won't know this because it's not in the bio notes, but it will be useful to give some context. I got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and told that I probably would have 6 months to a year to live. That's quite a powerful motivator to get something done, because at that point, you're looking at how you can best tidy up your affairs to take care of your family, because you don't think you're going to be here. I'm really pleased to tell you that I beat it. And strangely, I contracted they think having that is what cured me of the cancer. Late story for another day. But in that process, I went through thinking about how was I going to leave everything in order for my family. And that entailed selling my business. Now, quick whistle stop. If my business had been worth 5 million, and I'm making these figures up just to illustrate the point, I would have lost nearly half of it in taxes and fees in the process of selling the business if I'd been able to sell it in that shorter space of time. And then if I hadn't beaten cancer, and from 5 million, I'd been left with, say, 2.5, and I'm just using these numbers to illustrate, not to say that these are actual numbers, then sadly, in passing, I would have then been taxed another 40% on that 2.5 on everything above 300,000. So that's another 850 grand off of the 2.5, leaving about 1.7, 1.6 for my family from what I thought was a value of 5. Ooh. And I was somebody that thought that they were relatively successful, and more for me, because clearly I didn't know anything. So the secrets to 10X in your business and cashing out tax-free started from the other end to deal with a problem that a lot of people have and don't think about, especially in the mid-tier. So we're going to call that $50 million in revenue or less if you're an entrepreneur. And it's a three-legged stool problem, Josh. So it's, how do you make the money in the first place? To your point, people would be happy to 1X their business. How do you then, if you were to sell your business, put yourself in a position where you can sell it, not have to pay any tax, or if you can't follow my process and you do something, you know, a bit of my process and a bit of your own, then you're tax minimized, for example, so a lot less tax than you would pay. And then how do you protect that legacy from the situation I was in? So I would have had inheritance tax of 40%. A lot of other people would get a similar kind of number. But also, if you did pass your legacy to your loved ones, and let's say, unfortunately, your kids got married and divorced, then 50% of your life's work has walked out the door. So based with the very real situation of my own and 4 decades of entrepreneurship, I started to look at the problem from the other end, because I thought everybody's in has got this issue. Very few people plan for it appropriately. And so that's when I began working on the book and thinking about, hang on a minute, there's got to be a better way. And there is, Josh. There definitely is.
So let's kind of break this down. What I hear is there's, you said the three-legged stool of the problem here. The first one is, well, I got to make money for my business. And the second leg, I got to protect myself from tax liability. And the third leg is I got to protect my family from all of the different ways that the government's going to get their money back from me. That's what I hear first is, you know, hey, first of all, I need to build a healthy business, because if I don't have a healthy business, none of the rest of it matters. Once I have a healthy business, I got to protect myself Correct. From the liabilities from the business. And then once I have protected myself, I got to find a way to protect my family as well.
Yeah. So I just change a couple of inflection points, and it's really being pedantic, but it's how do you maximize the business value? How do you then minimize the costs to the business should you then sell it? And of course, assuming you're the major shareholder, you will be the beneficiary. And then how can I, in the legacy that I leave, do the very best that I can for my family and not find myself having to pay inheritance tax when I go? How can you help protect young people from sometimes making very emotional decisions that don't turn out to be where they want to go, and then losing half of it? So, you know, real issues, real problems. So if you come back to the beginning, if you don't have anything of value in the business, then it doesn't matter from a tax point of view, because it's not going to be taxable. There's nothing there of any value. So we find in our day to day, when I'm looking at businesses, Josh, that there's lots of different things that they may be able to do. For example, it might surprise you to hear me say that I work with a lot of companies where they have a website, for example, but no pixel, don't drive any traffic to it. So it's effectively a brochure. Not in all companies. Obviously, e-com companies wouldn't survive very long if they did that. But there's a lot there that you can do to grow business just with that one strategy. Another one is, well, what could you do to outsource? Now, you mentioned your bots at the beginning of the show, and I'm keen to hear more about those. It's very much the case that in the UK and in the US where we operate, I spend my time equally in both countries. It's a very high cost location. So if you can take non-core tasks and outsource them to people in lower cost locations, India, Philippines, you're going to save, if you're not been doing this, up to 70% on your salary bill. Those two things combined can significantly improve the value of your business. It's generally the case that a business doing less than $1 million in EBITDA will be worth about 1 to 1.5 times its profit. But the moment you go across that and you get to, say, 1.3, 1.4 million in EBITDA, which is the profits before earnings, income tax, depreciation, and amortization, then your multiple could be 5, 6, or 7 times. So your 10x the value could come just from those two pieces. There's lots of others, but I know we're compressed for time, so I'll highlight those two examples. Yeah.
For those who are listening, Mark is on a boat right now, so this is probably our first podcast recorded from a boat, and so there's a slight delay, so hopefully it minimizes that. But I just want to let you know, nobody's being rude to anybody over here. But so one question about that, Mark, you mentioned reducing your costs is one of the easy, it sounds like that's one of the easiest ways you can increase the profit of your business, which increases the value of your business. And that's something a lot of people don't think about. And I think it's worth just one more quick turn on that to really solidify that point. The point is, you can go and make more money, or you can find ways to spend less money to make the same money. Either way, you're going to potentially increase your profits. Can you just stay there for a minute? Because I think that's a point that everybody really needs to hear.
Yeah, let me give you an example. One of our clients, a North American company, outsourced 30 of their positions with our help to an overseas location. And why did they do that? Because they were non-core tasks costing them $100,000 per person per year before you add in the employer costs. So let's call that 120 grand each. 30 of those outsourced to, in this case, it was India, brought the cost down per person to less than 30,000. So the difference is 70 grand. And multiplied by 30 people is over 2 million on the bottom line of the business. Now, they didn't take it to the bottom line, Josh. They did, but they saved it. But they used that to hire salespeople, and they put 5 salespeople on the ground at 400,000 to 500,000 on target earnings if they made their numbers. And that added $20 million plus to the top line of the business in revenue. And of course, they're making a decent clip on that in terms of margin. It's you could do one and just save, but actually what I encourage people to do is find ways to save money so that you can then invest in programs to make money, because that will multiply, you know, you get the benefit of both then. But you're saving the money first before you put it into sales to grow the money, grow the profit in this example, which is therefore a cost-free program in that particular example because you saved it first before you invested it.
Yeah.
So.
That's
there's a real world example of what some, you know, what one client did and what people can do.
And that's huge because, and it's these types of thought process that is going to get us out of the muck, so to speak, where, okay, I've got a business that's doing $2 million. And if I can reduce my costs, I'm increasing my profits. But what I'm really doing is I'm increasing my free cash flow to reinvest in finding other opportunities. In this case, they went and took those $2 million and they hired a sales team to go and create more revenue. That wouldn't have been possible without freeing up the cash flow first. And so if we're thinking kind of a lot of times, the only way as entrepreneurs we know to grow our business is just to pull out the hammer and swing it as hard as we can, as often as we can. But there's a lot smarter ways to do that if we're really looking for those other ways to invest back into our business.
Bingo. Absolutely. But, you know, but a lot of people miss it. And in bigger companies, it's easier to miss because in bigger companies, it's more likely that they could be operating in silos. So that kind of, you know, cost saving and investment across two different departments doesn't always happen. But smaller companies should be able to get to it quicker. Of course, is the same. And then another thing they can do, and a lot of companies don't think about this, is if you were, you know, the interesting thing is if you bought another business of a similar size of revenue and profit, you could double the size of your business in an afternoon. But you could exponentially multiply the value of the business because you go from this $750,000 in EBITDA to $1.5 million in EBITDA, which takes the value of your business from $750,000 to $1 million. To 6 to 9 million potentially. Now, these numbers do vary according to the industry that you're in, but the effect of making it so much more valuable, by an order of magnitude, is definitely there, irrespective of the industry.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And so, one other question, just because the first part of the title of your book is Secrets to 10X in Your Business, and the second part of it is and cashing out tax free, and so. Could you speak just briefly about maybe not all the way into the weeds, but what are some of the low-hanging fruit activities and tasks that we can do as business owners that will make a significant impact on our tax liability long-term?
Yeah. So I would, without going, it's difficult not to go into the weeds, but let me put it this way for you. My book originally got banned at Amazon, and we knew why it was. And so there was a lot of going backwards and forwards with Amazon, and then they relisted it. I don't know that they never told me why it got banned, but I said to them, look, it's not to do with copyright. We've done everything that you asked us to do. It's all, you know, it was all properly done and everything else. And they then did agree with that. I said, if it's because you're concerned about the bit of the title that says cashing out tax-free, then could I share with you that actually I'm only sharing with our clients or readers what Jeff Bezos, what Elon Musk, I don't know if Tim Cook's doing it, but Zuckerberg and others are doing. And what they're doing is organizing their affairs in an appropriate way so that they minimize or eliminate their tax. And they're just making those tricks available to everyone else, because we can all take advantage of it, but some of us just think, well, that's the thing that how the other half live and what they can do. It's not for me, but it isn't. So it's to do with how you structure and how you organize. Sometimes it's to do with how you decide to take the payments of the business over a period of time. It does vary person to person. So it's difficult to say, when I gave you the example of buy another business, you'll double your value or more, that's definitive. But when you're taking into account people's personal circumstances, that's a bit more subjective. But with that, and so not everybody will completely eliminate the tax, but sure as eggs are eggs, you know, it will be minimized. It will be eliminated or minimized. And so there's massive value in that. It makes a huge difference to what somebody can do. You know, if they're selling a business for retirement purposes, they've now got enough cash to enjoy that retirement, so they can have more time to spend with their loved ones or going on those trips or whatever it is they wanted to do that they'd always promised themselves when they worked. But so many business owners try and sell a business and it's still on the market 15 months later, Josh. And so they end up forced working in it to continue working in it in their 60s and 70s and beyond, because they're still. But there are other ways in which they can take advantage, you know, organize themselves and their retirement and enjoy it. Now, it works for everyone else, but I'm focusing on the baby boomers here because they're the obvious cases in point that potentially would be selling a business.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And so, Mark,
does that make sense, Josh?
It makes a ton of sense. And I really appreciate you breaking all of that down and giving us a unique insight on this because of your experience. Yeah. It's not often that I talk to somebody that has 4 decades of experience in anything. So that's really great. I appreciate you sharing that. Where can we go to learn more about what you do and how to connect with you?
Well, I wanted to share a message, not sell to people. So I want to give value, and I hope I'm giving value. But what I would do, with your permission, is make a QR code available to you for the notes. That QR code, people can reach out to me if they want to. But more importantly, there is a quiz that they can take for themselves, and it will just take them through a 5-minute quiz with about 12 or 13, 14 questions that will give them an indication of where they currently stand and the things that they could do. There are other things that need to be done than we've talked about today to maximize your business value and cash out tax-free. So when I did the book, a lot of people have bought the book, but I want them to take action, coming back to the first question you asked me. And the fastest way to take action is to do a 5-minute quiz just to see where you are. And that's for free. It's totally for free. You know, they'll get a PDF report giving them some insight as to the current position and what some of the things that they could do across 4 or 5 key areas. I hope will be useful as a tool that people can think about and then plot their course accordingly from there. And if they want to reach out to me, they can. I'm happy to try and answer questions for people. But you know, I didn't come to sell the book. I didn't come to sell courses. I came to add value. And I'm finding that the quickest way I can add value to people is to get them to do the quiz. It's really quick, and then they can go from there.
Very well. So we'll get a link for that quiz, and we'll make sure that that's added to the show notes here on this episode. And we're going to go ahead and wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Mark Adams, who is somewhere in the Mediterranean on a boat and phoning in from there. So thanks for that unique experience. And for those of you who are interested in learning more about what Mark teaches. You can find his previously banned book from Amazon that is now available again. It's called Secrets to 10Xing Your Business and Cashing Out Tax-Free. And then there'll also be a link in the show notes where you can access this short quiz. For those of you who are on your morning commute, in the gym, somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT Literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone. And one more time, if you're looking to boost your sales, cut your costs, and free up your time for higher value tasks so that you can increase the value of your business and reinvest it into a sales team that's going to add $20 million to your bottom line, get yourself an Anabot. You can learn more by going to anabots.ai. That's it for this episode. Let's get to work.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Do Zone podcast. If you're running a service-based business that's looking to grow this year, let's talk about how we can slingshot you into momentum with a quick injection of cash and sales. Our clients typically see results in as little as 7 days. To learn more about what we do, you could go to factor1.io. Once again, that's factor1.io. We'll see you next time.